key features of this community for our purposes was that the flock to the area be people who were young enough to be without need for structure in their daily living, yet old enough to be past the green phase that young artists would fall into, which blindly support the commodity reward system that had so deeply retarded the psychic development of the Earth race. Our test group would be people who had already developed past these concerns, having come together to form lives inventively maneuvered and without attachment to commerce or the official culture. We were pleased and impressed as creating this subtle magnetic pull was incredibly successful in facilitating our purposes. The field we projected over these blocks changed the psychographic makeup of the area, which quickly escalated from a virtual ghost town with empty subway platforms even at rush hour to a bustling, hip, and happening urban mecca only 2 years later. With stylish innovators and anarchists trailing along the subway platform even at 3 a.m. There were parties often formed at 5 a.m. on weeknights without previous notice, debunking the patterns and expectations set up by the Silver Agenda. The revolution we facilitated was a personal one, a quiet revolution. It was a revolution that occurred in people's lives at an intimate level, the way they thought, valued, communicated, expressed, lived. This much was changed. There were no grand protests and upheavals, violence in the street, political offices at stake, just people in an environment with themselves. For that much, our efforts were a success, and the deprogramming and transformation witnessed intense and total. Before long, however, the neighborhood had stalemated in part by having become too safe. Newspapers and magazines began to hail the reign of the new avant-garde, but by then, young collegiates looking for the scene had repelled and displaced those original innovators who had been the substance of the community. As always, the very act of looking for the scene, in effect, had chased it away. But likewise with rents being paid for by distant parents, the financial weight on real Williamsburgers had become too much, and the significant period of cultural development that the media was writing about had already largely ended, revolutions rarely being funded activity. The important thing to note for our records is that Williamsburg was a town. It was a town like any other. Williamsburg was a town like any other that for the most part never existed. It never existed because it was an invisible town. A town that inhabited the same physical space as any town, but which contained a coexisting intangible plane which only some had access to. The good thing about towns like Williamsburg that never existed is that they can reappear at another time, someplace else. They can exist anywhere, providing, of course, that you're the type who could see them.